initially when I gave the title to Yankee for tonight's shiur, I had in mind but some a whole different topic to speak about. If anybody's interested in that topic, let me know, and maybe tomorrow night we'll do it. I had in mind to go through a major clearance event on many, many overlooked chatoyim, things that we might not be aware of, that Rabbeinu Yoina lists. I was just going to fly through 50, 100 things that very, very, very commonly overlooked things that just with a hirur tshuva we could, we're capable of removing from our cheshbon. But I decided that might not be that interesting. So the diehard guys that want to, you know, really go through it, more than welcome to come over to me after this year. Maybe we'll arrange a different time. But we'll try to keep to the title, even with a whole different topic. Tonight's clearance event, I'm going to pick up on three very, very big misconceptions that I believe we all have. Or at least I had till I went through the sugya. With the inyanim of tshuva and the yom hadin, and hopefully if it won't help any of the kehilas hakodesh that's over here, at least going through it may help me. Erev Rosh Hashanah, I called my brother Chaim, who lives in Lakewood, and we got a little shmooze, different things, thoughts that came up about Rosh Hashanah and yom hadin. And he said, Dovi, you know the Rambam Shita with Tzaddik and Rasha and Beinonim, right? I said, okay, what's the Rambam Shita on Tzaddik, Rasha, and Beinonim? He said, you know the Rambam doesn't say like half a dozen other Rishonim, right? I'm like, no. What does the Rambam say that's not like half a dozen other Rishonim? The Rambam says, well, we all know there's three books opened. Tzadikim, Rishoyim, and Beinonim. Chayim, Moves, and the guys that are in between and have a few more days to do tshuva. What is very stark and different about the Rambam Shita is, and I'll read it to you, it's a short little Rambam, Perek Gimel, Halacha Beis, and Hilchas Tshuva. Adam she'avonosav merubin al zechuyosav, someone who has a majority of averis, miyad hu meis berisho. He dies immediately. It's very hard to understand. All the Rishonim ask on the Rambam. And he says the same thing applies to his city, and the same thing applies to the entire world. Someone who is zechuyosav, Merubin Alavinoisav, he's what we call a tzaddik, and he's nechdav l'chayim. And so too with the city, and so too with the entire world. And someone who's not a majority of aveira, of chet, and he's not a majority of mitzvahs, he's what we call a beinoni. And I asked my actuary chavrusa today if he could come up with the numbers. What's the chances of a guy going through life and actually being exactly in the middle? The odds. I mean, we go through one day, just one day, the amount of mitzvahs and nisyonis and maisim toivim and brachas and amens and learning and good words of chizuk and tzedakah and davening it, the mitzvahs that we do and the nisyonis that we have. To think that we could come at the end of just one day and it being smack in the middle. You better buy a lottery ticket. What's the chances? What's the odds of us actually being a Beinoni in Shita Saramim? Others learn that there's a tzaddik, that means a complete tzaddik. There's a Rasha who's a complete Rasha. And then everyone in between are Beinonim. But the Rambam learns that the majority is a tzaddik, majority Rasha, and someone who's smack in the middle is a Beinoni. So my brother asked me, Dovi, how do you understand this Rambam? What's the chances? And the whole Aseres Yemei Tshuva is for who? The Beinonim. How many Beinonim do you have there out there already? How many winners do you have in the lotto? You got to match up the numbers. It's almost impossible. How many Beitanim do we have? And the whole Eseret to make tshuva with the Slichas and Levina Malkenus. It's too late for the guy that's a Tzaddik and the guy that's a Rasha. The guy that's a Tzaddik, he's already got Chayim. The guy that's a Rasha, he's in trouble. So we're dealing with just a few people, and that's Eseret to make tshuva. We got to make sense out of it. The Gemara in Kiddushin says a similar thought, but a little more what we would think is extreme. Mamtesim and Bezin Kiddushin. I'm sorry. Lamatesim and Bezin Kiddushin. Memo Rav. Tanu Rabbanan. Learned in the Brisa. La'olam yireh adam atzmo ke'ilu chetzi chayev v'chetzi zakai. A person should always see himself as being half meritus and half chayev. And therefore, asa mitzvah achas, you do one mitzvah, we all know, you tip the scale. You do one aveira, chas v'shalom, you tip the scale. And the Gemara goes further to say the same thing for the whole world. You should always look at the whole world as being exactly in the middle. You do one mitzvah, you tip yourself and the whole world with you. And chas v'shalom, the other way around, you do one aveira and you tip the whole world, and we look at this, it's like a fairy tale. How is it possible that we should be able to look at ourselves as being half and half? And the whole world as being half and half? And what makes this Gemara even a little more shver than the Rambam is the Gemara's expression of le'olam. Always. If a minute ago I was a Beinoni and I was exactly in the middle and I went and I put on tefillin, so I tipped the scale. How could you tell me a minute later again I'm a Beinoni if you want it to be realistic? So the back door out of this kasha is saying very simply, we're just using this as an incentive, a pep talk. This is the way to get a person driven to do more mitzvahs. You should look at yourself, but not that it's really the truth. We don't really know the truth. But that's not the Messiah that I have in learning. We don't take Gemaras just as you know, a pep talk. And if the Gemara says something, it means it to 100% the full truth. When the Mishnah says, B'shvili nivra ayla, person should always say B'shvili Nivra Ayla. You got to delve into it and understand it, but it's the truth. It's not a pep talk. So when the Gemara says La'olam yireh adam atzmo ke'ilu chetzi chayev chetzi zakai, how can we see that as actually being true and real? Secondly, the Gemara says if you do any mitzvah, you tip the scale. And yet the Rambam, when he speaks about it, he says that by Rosh Hashanah we're going to have the big din. And as we know, on Rosh Hashanah we're written the majority. And the ones in the middle, the Rambam says, V'habeinani, this is Peir Gimel, Halacha Gimel in the Rambam, in the Hilchas Tshuva. V'habeinani, tolin lo, Hashem waits for him, ad yom HaKippurim. Im asa tshuva, if he does tshuva, nechtam l'chayim. V'im lav, nechtam l'misa. And the question is, why did the Rambam specifically pick tshuva? How about any mitzvah? The Gemara in Kiddushin says, do a mitzvah. If you're equal, do one mitzvah and you're safe. Okay, you're not so sure how safe you are, do another mitzvah. But any mitzvah would suffice for the Gemara in Kiddushin. Why does the Rambam pick tshuva specifically? So this is the first clearance item that we want to deal with. We want to clarify how we view ourselves. Moshe Lamad Avadoyme. There's a certain loving father whose teenage son was aspiring to do a wonderful act in the circus one day. Yeah, get all the applause, make it into the, you know, the big circle in the middle, do a great, wonderful act, make everybody gape and awe. Now is his dream. And as a little child, as he'd be growing up and he'd sit there trying, practicing and doing different sorts of acts and feats. And the one thing he at least convinced himself that he was good at was the balancing act. He'd practice on the tops of chairs and on poles and on the roof edges, and he'd practice everywhere he could find to do the balancing act. And the father, only the father knew how many times he actually ended up in the hospital. This kid was convinced he knows how to balance. And the father, feeling very bad for his son, not wanting to shatter his dreams, the father came up with a great mahalach, how to keep his son optimistic. He told his son, "You're so good at balancing that tightrope, you know, walking across. You know, 2 out of 4 times you make it across. Pretty good, pretty good. Now you'll make it up there one day in the Big Apple. You're so good," he tells his son, "that when you're standing there with the stick, that balancing stick, we're going to include a new trick in your balancing act. We're going to put 2 gloves on either end of your stick, and while you're up there, I'm going to throw things at you, and you're going to catch them." Sounds pretty impressive. While he's balancing up there, the father's going to sit there and throw things, and he's going to, whoa! And what do you know? They try it, and the son started being more successful at balancing. And the father's trick was, as soon as he saw the son start tilting towards one end, he'd quickly throw something a little heavy, balls or whatever it is that he had, to be caught in the other end of the balancing stick. And if he'd see the son start teetering to the other side, he'd throw something to the other. And this way, the son kept on feeling the balance. The stick was helping him. These added weights to each side, just as he would start teetering, the father would throw, it would divert the son's attention to the other side, he'd catch it, it'll give him the little extra weight that he needs to put himself back straight, then he'd leave go of the ball, and the father would throw him another one as soon as he starts seeing his son teeter. The Eibishter is Toila Eretz Al Balima. He has the earth revolving around in a perfect circle. The Eibishter could do a balancing act like nobody else. And the Eibishter is a tremendous Baal Chesed. And the Eibishter wants the world to exist. And the Eibishter wants Melech Chofetz B'Chayim. He wants it to continue to live. And he wants the world to live. So the Eibishter goes, and he sees, as soon as we start teetering, we're nichshel in one aveira, the Eibishter throws us a little nisayon that he knows we could pass to the other side. And we're successful. And day in, day out, the Eibishter showers us with his love by throwing us one nisayon after another, one challenge, one opportunity to constantly keep us in a perfect balance. That's what I believe is pshat in this Gemara. Sometimes we have a major downfall, a huge chet, when nichshal, the Eibishter gives us another big nisayon for us to get back up. The Alten von Kelm, this is where I got the idea from, he doesn't specifically say it in regard to this, but he says that a person sometimes is sinking and sinking and sinking and he can't catch himself, and the Eibishter throws him a big nisayon. And it's an elevator. It lifts him right back up. And that nisayon is a tremendous chesed from the Borei Olam. You know why? Because it's such a big challenge that if the person fails, it's not so much a taina on the person. It was very hard. It was a huge nisayon. He had a huge yetzahara. So it's not such a big tefiyah on the person if he loses. Meidach kisa, if the person is successful, it brings him way back up to where he started. Way back up. This is what the Alter from Kelm speaks about. He speaks about the Asor and Nisyonis of Avraham Avinu. He says, throughout life, we always have miniature Nisyonis constantly coming up. But here and there, the Eibishter finds a need and a reason and a purpose to give us a big Nisyon. Those are the Asor and Nisyonis that Hashem gave to Avraham Avinu. And every single person has a few of those throughout his life. To get him back up, to bring him up to a height that he never could have reached by taking small steps one at a time. Perhaps that's pshat in the Rambam and the Gemara in Kedushin. It is possible, and not just it's possible. Roiv people, perhaps, are exactly in the middle, or maybe just one step away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his Hashkacha Pratis, arranges every single person's life with constant nisyonis, back and forth, just to keep us in a perfect balance. You need a very, very good professional, a real tzaddik, to pull ahead, way ahead of the pack, and he'll taka be a roiv, and throughout his life he'll be a roiv. The grace of tzaddikim! And you have Chas V'Shalom, a person who's meirid b'Hashem, rebellious person, he's not looking to do well. He taka will have tremendous failures. He won't be balanced. But for most of the people in between, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps us sending us nisyonis, and as long as we're just trying to do the right thing, and sometimes we fail. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps us in the balance. So the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, I believe, is Negeya to all of us, not just to a very few. And this leads us to a little better understanding why the Rambam says Tshuva. The Gemara in Kedushin says, any mitzvah will tip the scale. That's true on every single day. That balance that we have throughout our daily lives, every one mitzvah, any schus, or any aveira chas v'shalom, can tip it. And then for a moment, you're a rasha till the next opportunity, the next nisayon, the next challenge comes up. You're a rasha, temporarily. Or the guy's a tzaddik temporarily. He could tip the scale and put himself on the better edge. But when it comes during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the Yemei Hadin, we're standing before the Melech Malchim Lachim. All these mitzvahs and averas, they're not measured just by the number. As a matter of fact, they might not be measured by the number at all. They're measured by the size. As you said, Hashem could send one huge nisayin and that'll bring us all the way back up. It's equal to many, many averas. That one big aliyah that we have. During the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, of course we look to improve and do more mitzvahs and more mitzvahs, but if we turn a blind eye to tshuva, it's considered a chutzpah. It's a complete lack of recognition of what's going on in the world, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, of the Yemei Hadin. Specifically during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, it's not going to suffice just to tip the scale with one mitzvah. The mitzvah's not, it's worth something. But the lack of tshuva is so much more heavy. It bears so much more of a magnitude on who you are. If during Aseres Yemei Tshuva you could ignore tshuva. Yeah, we'll do a mitzvah. But it's got to be tshuva during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And the lack of that creates this tremendous gaping hole in terms of defining who we are, in terms of Oyver Hashem. So during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, we dafka need tshuva. Throughout the year, any one mitzvah will tip the scale. So that's the first clarification. Clarify where we're holding. There's a very big chance. It's not against the odds. There's a very big chance that we are all Beinonim. Chaper Rein. Get in the tshuva, and we could win the game. It's not lost. Second clarification is tshuva itself. Some of us are acquainted with the Rabbeinu Yoina, Shari Tshuva, perhaps from when we were in yeshiva and we were told to learn it during Elul. And you learn Rabbeinu Yoina and the Shari Tshuva, and Rabbeinu Yonah gives like 25 levels of the pain, agony, guilt, sorrow, anguish, tears, affliction. So many levels of complete sorrow and charata for an Aveira. And they're all part of a person's Tshuva. He makes Tshuva this mountain. This massive, massive struggle. Some of us might be familiar with the Rambam. The Rambam says, tshuva, there's three components to tshuva. Charata, you got to feel bad about the past. You can't just change your ways. You got to actually feel bad about what happened in the first place. Vidoy, you have to make a verbal proclamation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know I did wrong. And Aziba Techet, changing your ways. Leave the chet and be better in the future. Three components to tshuva. And then we have a Gemara in Kedushin again. The Gemara in Kedushin says that if a person comes over to a woman and he's known as the town Shabbos guy, the only problem is he's taka. I shouldn't say he's taka. He's a Jew. He's a Jew. I remember during the Gulf War, I think, there was one person who died as a direct hit from one of the Scud missiles. And he was the person who used to drive around on his motorcycle on Shabbos through all the Haredi neighborhoods. Everybody else, there were some elderly people who from the fear had heart attacks. There was only one person who actually died from a hit. So you have this guy, he's a Rasha Gomer. Everybody could expect him to drive by during the Baruch Hillel on Shabbos afternoon during the Suda. And this guy goes over to a woman with a ring, and he says, Arei at mekudeshes li al menas she'ani tzadik gomor. I'm marrying you on condition I'm a tzadik gomor. Of course, this lady thinks that it's a joke. But assuming she takes him seriously, and she accepts the ring, the Gemara says she's mekudeshes. And she needs a get if she wants to remarry anybody else. Shema, hear her, tshuva bedaitai. Perhaps in his mind, he had a hearer tshuva. He had a thought of tshuva. And boom, all his averus are gone. And he's a tzadik gomor. And we see this Gemara, and we see the Rambam, and then we see Rabbeinu Yoina, and we don't know where the pieces of the puzzle fit together. What's tshuva? A hearer? Aziva and Charata with a vidui? Rabbeinu Yoina. Rabbeinu Yoina himself agrees to the Rambam too. He specifies in one place that the Yisoidais HaTshuva are Shleisha, and he says the same thing. Charata, vidui, and Aziva Sachet. Three things. But he speaks about many, many madregas. So based on a shir that I heard from Maran, the Shashiva of Shmuel Birmam Zetzal, he spoke about two parts of tshuva, and I'm just trying to develop it a drop further into three. There's mailos, madregos in tshuva, levels in tshuva. That's what Rabbeinu Yoin is talking about. Many, many levels within tshuva. Person could reach tremendous heights in tshuva, shleimus, perfection, v'makim shebali tshuva imdim, afilu tzadikim gemurim imdim, huge, huge, tremendous levels in spirituality of tshuva. Then there's something called the mitzvah of tshuva. There's a mitzvah sasei d'oraisa. Person does an aveira, do tshuva. And like any other mitzvah, a mitzvah has its guidelines, its rules, its regulations, how it's done, when it's done, what's needed to be considered being yoitz of the mitzvah, and if you're missing a component, you might not be yoitz of the mitzvah. It's got its guidelines. There's the mitzvah of tshuva. But there's a third thing, and that's the Gemara in Kedushin. It's a famous story with a well-known manuvel. Really filthy, dirty guy. Gemara testifies on him that he didn't pass up on one zayna that he ever heard of, to which he didn't take advantage of. Not a single zayna that he was aware of that he didn't make use. And the Gemara says a story that he heard about one zayna, one person who lived far out overseas on some island, who was supposedly the best of the best, and she charged a hain rav. And this guy went and he was ready to spend everything, to spend time with her. And this person's name was Elazar ben Durdaya. He was a Yid. And he went to this woman, and in preparation to do the chet, The woman commented to him and said, "Ah, you're Jewish? You're Jewish? Ha, there's no hope for you." And Elazar ben Derdaya, this comment from the lowest of the lowly goyim in the world, this comment, Beis Dois, hit him where it counted, hit him hard in his heart, and he suddenly got shaken up, and immediately left her, and he went and he sat on a mountain, and he started calling out and crying to all the different forces of nature, guide me, what should I do about myself, is there any hope for me? We don't know exactly what it means, but they all responded, there's no hope, there's nothing you can do, you're a lost soul. The Zayna was right. There's no hope for you. And it says that Elazar ben Derdaya sat there on the mountain and he just started wailing and crying. Ad sheyatza nishmasay. His neshama left him. The pain, the agony that he had, his neshama left him. Yatza baskal v'omer yeish koina eilamoy b'sha achas. Rebbe Elazar ben Derdaya. He got a new name. Rebbe Elazar ben Derdaya. When you all look at the story and it's very nice and it's sweet and it's emotional, it's a great thing to tell the kids. But you come to the Rambam, where was the Vidui? He didn't do tshuva. The Rambam says, you need charata, Vidui, and aziva zachet. Good, maybe charata he had, aziva zachet chances he had, but where was the Vidui? Not only that, the vidui is the only part that the Rambam actually brings down a pasuk for. The hisvadu. There's a mitzvah, there's a chiv of vidui. The answer is, this person didn't do the mitzvah of tshuva. The mitzvah of tshuva has three components, and you need each one of the three components for you to be yoytza the mitzvah of tshuva. He wasn't doing the mitzvah of tshuva. But he was about tshuva. He had the essence of tshuva. And the essence of tshuva is a hirur. It's a feeling of sorrow that you miss being close with the Eibishter. We say in the Haftarah, Zacharti lo chesed niurayich, ahavas kiluloisayich. Habein yakir li Ephraim, yeled shashuim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivayochel remembers the days of old Klai Yisrael in their younger years. The Talmud Devarah speaks about the midah that we have, that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, one of the Yud Gimel midahs, is referred to, not in the Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum, but in what we say during Tashlich. We say, Mimei Kedem. It's a midah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has called Mimei Kedem. And Mimei Kedem is a midah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers the person's young days when he was a baby. And even if the person already doesn't have any schusim left, he's such an avarian. Imamish, no schusim! Not only that, he already used up the schus avos and all the other promises, habris, all the other things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses to find merit in Klai Yisrael. Gone. Nothing's going to work for this fella. And yet, the last midah is Mimei Kedem. What's Mimei Kedem? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kivayachol, looks back at this person and says, there was one time in this guy's life when he had innocence. Ah, that in itself can make me look at him in a good light. We can use that midah too. We all remember with ourselves before we did chet, before we were nichshel with something, before we dirtied ourselves, before we were a little dishonest and a little not so perfect with the ways we spoke to our wife and the way we scream at our kids and the way we insult a friend and whatever it is. The way we put on tefillin when we first were bar mitzvah. The way we put on tzitzis when we were younger. All the mitzvahs that we did, not milumada, with a freshness, with a recognition, with an awareness. We all remember, hopefully. There were days when we did things so beautifully, with such purity, with such innocence. And that's a midah of Mimei Kedem. If we could attach ourselves, even if not in action, but at least in thought, to miss those days. To miss those days. And to feel, oh, how beautiful it was when we felt closer to the Borei Olam. That feeling of innocence, the feeling of cleanliness that we had. That's a hirur tshuva, which is called the essence of tshuva. It might not be the mitzvah of tshuva because it might be missing some of the regulations and the tnayim required for the mitzvah of tshuva. But it is tshuva. And it's possible to take a guy who's a rosh, a gomer, driving around on a motorcycle on Shabbos and be mekadesh, a woman, and with this feeling in his heart, this hearer, this missing, oh yeah, I wish I could just dump all my chatoim, and just be back with the Borei Olam like a son with a father and hold his hand. That thought, even though it's missing the components for the mitzvah of tshuva, that's tshuva. And the person can change over, Hashem erases the aveirois, and he could be a tzaddik gomer instantaneously. Yesh koina oilamoi b'shah achas. Rebbe Elazar ben Dordayer. That's a tshuva. Might not be the mitzvah of tshuva. Might not be the mitzvah. For the mitzvah, we need three components. It's a little harder. And there's a mitzvah of tshuva. Now's the time for the mitzvah of tshuva. We got to work on it. But at least this level we should all have. This is a way to free ourselves of our aveiros. This is an eitzah. It's a trick. We could use it. This is a level of tshuva that l'chayr we all, every single person who's got a pintel yid, can feel and relate to that. Just give a few moments and think about it and ponder it and arouse those feelings in our heart. And we could all have that level which we call a baal tshuva. Yesh koina ulamai b'shah achas. That's a clarification in tshuva. And the last thing I wanted to bring out a little clarification in. It hit me during davening. Not sure exactly which tefillah it was. You sit there and we daven slowly and carefully, and sometimes the words, even though they're common words, we say it pretty often, it has a new meaning to it. Or a new question arises to try to find meaning. And I was bothered by the fact that in all the halakhas that we have during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, nothing's ma'akif. You forget HaMelech HaMishpat, you're okay. Chsoiv L'chayin, you're okay. Sefer Chayin, all these things, everything, you're okay. HaMelech HaKadosh, you're lost. Go back to the beginning. Of all things, why HaMelech HaKadosh? I would say maybe HaMelech HaMishpat. Hey, it's the days of judgment. HaMelech HaMishpat. Okay, so we know it's Melech, oh, it's not HaMishpat. You get the Melech in there. But why is it that HaMelech HaKadosh is the prime? That's it. You give the clap and shul. What's everybody thinking before Shemoneh Esrei? Not about anything else. HaMelech HaKadosh. Don't forget that one. Where does it get that center stage over here? HaMelech HaKadosh. HaMelech HaKadosh. In some way, Malchus and Kedusha seem to be bonded when we make that bracha. And I was trying to figure out some meaning to that. We all come together, Yom Neroim, and we say, Galei Kvod Malchus HaOleinu. Galei Kvod Malchus HaOleinu. Reveal you. The honor, the glory of your mouth is upon us. And the truth is, I think that prayer is answered as soon as we say the words. I don't suggest this to anybody, but if you would turn around when you say those words and just look at the shul that you're davening in, and you see 10, 20, 30, 100, however many people, all standing there, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, we're not talking about what goes on throughout the rest of davening, but in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you take a look around. Is there any greater Galei Kvod Malchus HaOleinu? So many Yidden coming, contrite, talking to the Borei Olam, wanting to find favor in the Eibishter's eyes. What else does it mean to have Ashuas HaShechina in the world? Ashuas HaShechina is a recognizable, palpable presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. You have a group of Yidden getting together, doing the right thing, with the whole heart. Is there any greater recognizable presence? That's what it is. It's a famous vart that many people say. When the Eibishter told Klai Yisrael to build the Mishkan, he said, "V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'seichem. Make for me a mikdash and I will dwell amongst them." And everybody's medayik, amongst them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying that make for me a Makom Mikdash in yourselves and I will dwell within Kol Echad Ve'Echad B'Yisrael. The Shekhinah rests in the Yiddish hearts. You just have to make it a Makom Mikdash. What does it mean to make it a Makom Mikdash? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the exact designs to Moshe Rabbeinu how to build a Mishkan, but not a Mikdash. He gave the measurements and the things that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't grasp, the menorah. Hashem gave him an image. According to one shot, the menorah was formed on its own. Hashem gave him the specific architectural design of a Mishkan. What does it mean, Mikdash? How do you make it holy? How do you make it holy? It's very nice, a bunch of walls and krushim, and there's the Mizbeach, and there's the Oroin, and there's the Bereichis, and the Uriais. It's all beautiful. It's a very nice Mishkan. But what made it holy? We're so used to thinking that Kedusha is this massive chalois. Chalois itself takes a little explaining what it means, a chalois. But this thing, this coming down from Shemayim, and poof, it's holy. What does it mean to be Kadosh? Kedusha is a lot easier than we think. A lot easier than we think. In the beginning of Kedusha, keep on going back to Kedusha, I just learned it. So. Beginning of Kedusha, Tosfos addresses why we say to a lady, Hareat Mikudeshes Li. We're not saying that she's holy. What are we saying to a woman when we say Hareat Mikudeshes Li? Tosfos says that Mikudeshes is a lashon of miyuchedes umizumenes. You're reserved. You're set aside from the rest of the world. You're unavailable for others now. And therefore, you're just available for me. I'm not going to go into the whole lumdis, but if Moshe Feinstein learns that, as a matter of fact, when you do a kedushin to a woman, you didn't do anything positive to her at all. There was no effect that took place upon her. Nothing happened. All you did was you reserved her and set her aside from everyone else. And since now you're the only one that's left available, you're a man that's called married. The Torah Aser is relating with a woman in a hefker digaway. Znus. This is not hefker anymore since she's reserved. She was set aside from the rest of the world. The two of you are alone. That's how Moshe Feinstein learned. We're not going to go into the lungs. But the meaning within this Tosfos is tremendous. Kedusha is a lot more absence than it is a positive effect. Kedusha is a lot more about what you're not going to do than what you are going to do. It's not about creating this celestial effect coming down from the heavens. It's about reserving something. V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'soicham. How do you make a mikdash? Es mikdashi tirau. If someone acts with the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash in a manner of awe, he doesn't do his daily mundane things in that Makom HaMikdash, that is what makes it Kaddish. He's preserving this thing that this is not for the daily mundane activities. This is not for just the everyday. That is its Kedusha. Es Mikdashi Tirau. We say in Vayechulu by Shabbos, Vayishbois b'yoyim hashvi. I'm sorry, Vayikadesh. Vayikadesh oisai. So the Eibush to bench Shabbos. Vayivorech elikim es yoyim hashvi. Vayikadesh oisai. Hashem made Shabbos holy, kadosh. Kivoy shavas mikol malachtai. Doesn't say Hashem made Shabbos holy by doing something. Hashem made Shabbos holy just by not doing what he was doing throughout the other 6 days of creation. And the Vilna Gaon says this prat. I'll read you the Vilna Gaon's words. Masha'onu shoiv simboi memalacha. Just withholding from malacha on Shabbos. Hu hakidush. That's what makes Shabbos kadosh. Ki kidush hu lashen prisha. Kiddush just means setting something aside, reserving it. That's what Kedusha is. So I was just thinking that that's Melech HaKadosh. We know that a king, two kings can't share one crown. That was the sun and the moon. They had the taina during the creation. Ein shtei malachim mishtamshin bekeser echos. You can't have two kings using one crown. We can't be the same. The midah of a melech is that he is the only one. He's a monarch. Totalitarian. The only one. Full, complete power. That's a melech. It's specifically the absence of other powers that makes the melech kaddish. It's specifically the absence. And we bring down the pasuk by Yigba Hashem, Tzvaka is by Mishpat, Akel HaKadosh Nikdash B'Tzdaka. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that has Mishpat. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has any power in the world. The midah of Malchus and the midah of Kedusha, the highest level of Kedusha can only be attained when something is so completely separated from anything else. It's total. That's HaKadosh. But b'negeah to us, and we'll end with that, b'negeah to us, we're looking in these days to be more Kaddish, to add a little Kedusha to our lives. It doesn't take necessarily positive, reaching for the stars type of actions. It means going back into your house and looking at perhaps different mechshalim, different chatoim, different yetzaharas that we have. And it's not a vort of doing tremendous acts. It's a vort of reserving and setting things aside, putting things away. It's the removal of the mundane. It's the removal of chet that brings kedusha. So, just hoping, Taka, that we should be able to go through the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, recognizing that we all are right now still Beinanim, smack in the middle, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechasta, Betuva, Behavasa Ilanu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps us perfectly balanced. So we're all perfectly balanced and we have the capability of tipping the scale. The second thing, Tshuva. We all have a level of tshuva that we could fulfill without great hardship. And that's the essence of tshuva itself. Trying to bring back, even just in our hearts, to miss the days of innocence, the days when we were so clean and fresh and loving and close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the last but not least is Kedusha. To find in our lives what things that we're able to just separate. This is not for my home. This is not for my body. This is not for who I am. Certain things that we're able just to remove from ourselves. And with those things itself, we are creating the Asu Li Mikdash V'Shachanti V'Seichem. Everybody should have a Gemach Sima Tov.
Amen. Baruch HaFrona Gershus. Baruch HaTa Adonai.